Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's do that right now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you, so call now, 800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our identity in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul wrote this, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus." That is a key phrase in the New Testament, the phrase "in Christ." That's a geographic phrase. It's talking about your location, where you are now. So that raises a question, where were you? If you are now in Christ, where were you before? And the Bible gives us three answers to that. First, we were in Adam. Since Adam and Eve were the first created beings, all of mankind came from Adam and Eve's loins, basically. And actually, science is showing that there was a beginning. There was this beginning couple.
Common DNA.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we are in Adam. Well, that could have been a good thing until Satan entered the garden and sin entered in. So Adam then was in sin and death. Why? Because Adam chose to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So Adam was now in sin and death, and that sin and death was a part of this kingdom of Satan, or as the Bible calls it, the kingdom of darkness. So when we came into this world, we were in Adam, and then we were surrounded by sin and death. We were trapped by sin and death, and we were a part of this kingdom of darkness. Jesus came and rescued us out of all three of those. So he took us out of Adam and placed us into himself. And that happened through new birth. So you hear this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your heart responds to that by faith. You're born again. So you're born again into the family of God. So now you are in Christ. Well, being in Christ means that you are in grace, in righteousness, which also means that you're in the kingdom of God. It's an incredible place to be. So the question that we need to ask all the time when it gets down to these questions about sin, well, what happens when I sin? We have to start asking the question about location. Where are you? Well, I am in Christ. Well, what does that mean? If I am in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for me. When I was in Adam, and when I was trapped in sin and death, and when I was a part of the kingdom of darkness, that's where condemnation reigns. We were under the condemnation of God. But now that we've been moved out of Adam and placed into Christ, there is no condemnation. Boy, what powerful news that is. So this isn't just a throwaway phrase in the Word of God. It's not one of those buzz phrases that really creates interest in those sort of things. It is a phrase of fact. If you have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have let your heart exercise faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you have been transferred from where you were, sin and death, kingdom of darkness, Adam, and you have been placed into Christ. And we're going to talk about that all week. What does it mean to be in Christ? And if you'll grab hold of it, and if you will really step into what this means, it's going to answer a lot of questions. It's going to clear up a lot of confusion, and it's going to give you confidence in your relationship with Christ.
Well, it's going to be an exciting week, friends, and of course, this is day one of that week, so take part right now, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question, if you have something you'd like us to discuss, perhaps something Bob Christopher was just mentioning kind of rang a bell with you, I'll give us a call. We want to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. So all the time on the clock, all the lines available to you right now, 800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Beverly in Douglasville, Georgia. She says, I'm seeing more and more Christians accepting homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. How do I minister to someone who is immersed in God's grace and yet deceived by the misunderstanding of living abundantly? He is in Christ, and since hearing the message of complete acceptance, he has decided that God made him this way and that he needs to embrace it. She says, I have been wrong before, confession, forgiveness, out of fellowship issue, among other things, so I want to search the Scripture for what is truth. Can you direct me to a ministry or to Scriptures that specifically speak to this issue?
Well, Bob, thanks for bringing that question to the table today. That's a very, very important question, and it gets down to the nature of grace, God's grace. Oftentimes, we see it simply as a pathway to tolerance or a pathway to acceptance. We just have to accept everybody right where they are. But that's not grace. Grace changes us. Grace transforms us. Sure, all of us come into this world as sinners, and every single one of us have natural sinful tendencies. That's just the nature of our makeup. But now that we've come to Christ by faith, transformation starts to take place. And we just have to submit ourselves to that transformation. Somebody saying, this is how God made me, they're saying that, and this is my experience. I can't judge everyone, but this is my experience. They're saying that is because they want to remain as they are. They don't want to give up. Why? Because obviously they're getting some sense of meaning and purpose. They're getting some sense of identity. They're getting some sense of purpose from maintaining that way of life. And so then they're gonna argue back and say, "Oh, you're just judging me. You're just judgmental. You're filled with hate language." Well, what I'm saying is, if we want to step into what God has for us, we have to step into what God has for us empty-handed. We can't negotiate with him. He's not negotiable. There's nothing that we can offer to God. You know, we say, Lord, if you'll just let me remain as I am, I will dedicate my life to you. Well, God doesn't. You know, he doesn't get into those types of negotiations. We have to come to him empty-handed, and that's where so many of us miss the boat. We come with hands full, saying, this is who I am, this is what life has been for me. If you will just accept all of this, I will dedicate my life to you. Well, that's not the way it works. We come to Christ empty-handed. And the reason we would maintain or hold on to something is because we think that's the only way that we're going to be happy. Well, do you think God has something else that could make us happy? I think so. And it's going to make us a lot happier than whatever we're holding on to. So it's time to let go of that stuff. Yeah. Come to God empty-handed and say, I'm yours. That's what this gospel message frees you to do.
Absolutely. Beverly, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you and to your friend as well. Friends, if you have a question similar to this or some other issue you're discussing or with someone or some particular issue you're facing, why, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Martin in Valley Stream, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Pastor. God bless you. Love your show. A pleasure to listen to you on a daily basis. I hope I'm not a little off topic, but you guys were talking about the garden, and a question struck my mind. If God, what was the first language that God spoke to men? Or if God, in actuality, didn't speak to Adam, and it was pretty much inaudible, or God spoke to Adam in his heart? And maybe it wasn't a voice. If you could expand on that, please.
Well, Martin, thanks for calling today. We certainly appreciate your question. So what was the first language of mankind? There would certainly be some that would say King James English was probably how how God spoke. But we don't know that information. We don't know what that first language was. We don't know what the language of the day before the Tower of Babel happened. We don't know what that language was. We know the people of God eventually spoke Hebrew. That became the language. And then I think from there, just other offshoots of that language started to develop. And then there's all types of languages around the world today. I mean, thousands and thousands of languages that are spoken. But as far as that very first language, I'm not sure. All we do know is that God was able to communicate to mankind. Mm-hmm. And mankind and Adam and Eve were able to hear the voice of God and understand exactly what God was saying to them. So language originated with God, and understanding and meaning of language came through a listening ear to what God had to say. So I think that's the best we can do on that, Martin. We sure appreciate your call. Thank
you. Indeed. 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. A question from Hector, who wrote to us from Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Says, I have a question about fellowship. Says, I'm 25 years old and have given my life to Christ, but I struggle with the idea of joining a local church. I don't want to be misled by anyone, but listen to your program and many other broadcasts and resources. I spread the good news of our Lord and have been blessed in the process. I believe fellowship with other believers in my community would help me grow more in this life, and I want to ask if it's okay to just continue the way I'm doing things right now, or should I try to start a small group study or search for a church that hits the core values of being a follower of our Lord? Thank you, and love your ministry. That's from Hector in Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
It's an excellent question, and Richard, a part of the truth that we're in Christ means that we belong to the body of Christ. There's this spiritual connection that has now been made, and so we stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ, a family. And there's something that God does inside of us when new birth happens. I think God gives us a desire to be in relationship with other members of the body of Christ, and we can't deny that. I think just the evidence of calls that have come in through the years. Where can I find a good church? I just feel like I'm drying up inside without the fellowship. That's an important aspect of this Christian life. Without it, I think we will dry up. It's not that God can't sustain us in those times. Certainly, we've heard of folks that have been in solitary confinement who were Christians, whom God sustained. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But God meant for us to be in community, meant for us to be in fellowship with other believers. So our encouragement is to get involved with other believers, whether it's through a local church or whether it's through a small group Bible study. Find a network of other Christians that can encourage you and that you can encourage. Now, we ask about membership in a local church. There's a lot of people that recoil at that thought. They're not interested in actually, you know, joining that church and becoming an official member. That's a decision between that person and God, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And between that person and whatever part of the local body of Christ they're dealing with. Some churches, it's a very easy thing to, quote, join. Other churches, it's a very difficult thing to, quote, join. And you know, it doesn't have to be a rules and regulations-based thing. If you're in fellowship with other Christians, if you're serving the body of Christ and being served by the body of Christ, then let the Spirit lead you to where you should be serving. I can only tell you my own story. There were two people who came to the church I was attending. And the last place they would have ever come was that church, except God led them there. And they came there, and they were the ones who helped my wife and I finish our search for truth? What is grace? What is the Holy Spirit? If they hadn't been there at just that time serving the body of Christ as they'd been led to do, it may have taken us a lot longer to get where we were going. So they were willing to do something that was very uncomfortable for them in order to reach out to somebody else. Who knows that maybe God will have you do something like that, or someone will come to you in the same way.
I've heard the question posed, if you're a member of the body of Christ, what other membership do you need?
True.
Well, that's a true thing. There are certain denominations, there are certain local churches who say, yes, you're a member, but we want you to be a member of this local expression of the body of Christ. And they want to make sure that you actually are a genuine Christian, that you've exercised faith, you hadn't just given lip service to it. So sometimes their membership requirements, for that local church can be pretty stringent, and that's where a lot of people push back. You know, I've already accepted Christ. Just talk to me, get to know me, and you'll find that to be true. But sometimes these churches don't have that type of time, so they try to say, no, you need to go through this. If you're going to affiliate with us, then you've got to be like us. And so there's nothing biblical about that, requiring a second membership into a local church. If you're saved, you're saved.
Sure.
And so you belong. You already belong, whether a local church recognizes that or not. But we have some exciting news today.
Yes.
That we want to share with our listeners, a brand new resource that we have made available. It came from our conference that we did earlier in June, and we want to tell you all about it because I think it's one of the best resources that we've put out in our entire ministry's history. There's some powerful, powerful truth within the context of this resource. Bob, tell us about it.
Well, for those of you who were not able to attend our conference earlier in the year called Stand 2014, and for those of you who were, who would like to get a refresher, this is an excellent product. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. It addresses the need of every Christian at one time or another, how to walk by faith and apply that faith to everyday life. As I said, it's from our Stand 2014 conference early this year. It contains six sessions plus the added bonus of the roundtable discussion and Q&A session with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. This, of course, will anchor you to the life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and will enable you to stand firm during the trials of life. We all go through them. It's available in DVD form and CD form or MP3 formats. And here's the special thing. Through November 19th only, you'll get a discounted pricing. Is it September? Okay, I'm going to change that on this copy right now. September 19th.
Because we are in September.
Yes,
right now.
We are. Okay. All right. Discounted pricing. Hey, do it this month, okay? Also, free shipping this month. Access to two teleseminars hosted by Bob Christopher addressing the how of faith and faith in real life, focusing on marriage and money. That's two hot topics right there.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. So to order, simply call our order line, 800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. Or go online to stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com.
Yes, indeed. And stand2014.com, you're going to find out more information about it. It's real easy to order right off that page. It's just set up for that purpose. We want you to have it. This is wonderful for your own spiritual growth, enabling you to take a stand, find solid footing in this broken world. But it's also a wonderful equipping resource. If you have a ministry, if you're interested in ministering to others, this is the information that you will need to pass along to those that you're in contact with. Folks need to know that their sins have been forgiven and how to receive that and rest in that and walk by faith in it. Folks need to know that that's what the love of God is all about. That's where it was first demonstrated, through this act of Christ to shed his blood once and for all so that forgiveness could be ours. Mm-hmm. We also need to know what the meaning of the resurrection is and what it is to have Christ living in us 24/7 and what it is to be new covenant believers. All of that information is contained within these six messages, Plus, there's some really, I think, wonderful stuff on the Q&A and the roundtable. Yeah. So don't miss this opportunity to get this series, as you were saying, Bob. It is available both as a video product,
right,
as a CD product, or as an MP3 product.
MP3,
so
yes. Uh-huh.
However you prefer, go to stand2014.com, pick up your copy of Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World.
The only way we don't have it is by cassette.
And we will never have it by cassette or 8-track.
That's right. Exactly right. But it's a wonderful product, friends. Hope you'll take advantage of it.
Indeed. Well, let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk with Edward listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Edward.
Okay, thank you.
What?
You want to hear my question?
Please, pass it on, friend.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not an example of a faith or believer, so to say, but I am Catholic, and I am at the later age of existence here. What I'd like to know, if you would know, where does it say in the Bible, in which one is it, where God makes a statement or a question? It goes like this. Anyone who loves this world does not love me, and therefore should be dealt accordingly. That's it.
Okay, Edward, we appreciate the call. I don't know if the Word of God says it exactly like this, but it, like Edward mentioned, but there is a passage in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And John goes on to say, "For everything in the world." And when John talks about the world, Edward, he's not talking about planet Earth. He's talking about this world system that is dominated and controlled by Satan and lies and those sort of things. And so he goes on to say, yeah, that this is what's in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And Edward, doing the will of God is simply this. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Edward, if you have come to that place in your life where you've believed the Lord Jesus Christ, you've put your full weight of trust in what he accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, then you're not of the world. You have been moved out of the world and placed into Christ, just as we were talking about at the very, very beginning of the broadcast. So, Edward, have you come to
that? Yes, I agree with you 100%. And I admire this sentence or paragraph or whatever you would call it. In other words, it's in the book of
Yeah, where I just read was the first letter of John. First John.
First letter of John. That's good enough. Yeah, I'll find that.
Okay,
yes.
Edward.
Now, could you change the phone and give me somebody where I could leave my name, address, so that you could mail me some paraphernalia?
We will do that, Edward. We sure appreciate your call today. It's nice to meet you on the air. And let me put you on hold, and we'll get some information from you, and we'll send you some resources. Okay, my friend? You hang on.
And thanks to everybody who joined us for this edition. Bob, how do we stand financially? What's it looking like these days?
Well, we just need help. And I think a lot of ministries need help. But it's not that, we want to make our books look better. We need help to keep ministering to people. That is the bottom line. There are folks out there like Edward who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. There are folks all over this world who are struggling, who have never really heard what the gospel message is. Help us reach them. That's what we're encouraging you to do. So give so that this ministry can keep on giving to those who need to know the love of Christ.
And this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's four-message series, When God Is For You. In the series, you'll learn the truth about God's love for you and realize your true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, When God Is For You. To make your gift and request your copy today, visit us at basicgospel.net or phone your gift and your request to 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, and learn how to live in the confidence that God is for you. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.